London is no stranger to the fog, but rather than roll in, this mist seemed to rise, thick and slow, devouring the dark alleys of Whitechapel from the bottom up. Whitechapel Dark Mist, a Cthulhu by Gaslight Mystery.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Percentile Vice with Whitechapel Dark Mist. Previously, our investigators had found themselves in a deep, dark hole. Actually, a grave-sized hole that they fell into upon busting open the door of a mausoleum. At the end of the hole, they found what appeared to be a carved-out, crudely made tunnel, which, after procuring a candle from a nearby church, they proceeded down that tunnel, which opened up into a larger room, which allowed them to stand up more straighter, and they found what they believed to be the clothing of the second of five missing gentlemen in the Whitechapel area, that being Weasel Pike, the homeless vagrant. Our investigator, Rosalie, recognized the clothing as being Weasel Pike after Joe had pointed out to her that they looked like a homeless man's clothes, and then it dawned on her, and they had found the shredded and bloody clothing, but nothing of Weasel Pike. They then took one of two passages leading out of this opening and proceeded to investigate further down the trail when Joseph noticed that their candle was starting to get low, and if they wanted to not have to walk around this place in the dark where there's absolutely no lighting source, that they should probably turn back now and get a more permanent source of lighting, like a lantern or something of that sort. They turned around and started making their way back, and at that time they heard what must have been making the cloven footprints they'd seen throughout the dirt areas of this cavernous, catacomb-like place approaching them. So they began to make their way back to the entrance of the mausoleum, and the footsteps and the scratching along the walls seemed to get closer and louder. They made it through the opening, cavernous opening, and into this smaller tunnel that would lead them back to the mausoleum, and they could hear the creature getting closer to them. They got to the dug-out grave-size hole in the mausoleum, but were unfortunately in their haste and probably fear unable to boost each other up out of it. And rather than making a second attempt at it, sensing that things were going too fast for that, Josephus has pulled his shotgun and pointed it towards the opening. And I apologize for mispronouncing your name, Josephus.
Josephus.
I think you should do that every time.
Just new ways of
Josephus.
Josephus.
He has pointed his shotgun towards the small dugout tunnel that leads into this dug grave in the mausoleum. You're pointing your gun at that. You hear the scratching and the hoofbeats slow. And then on the wall of the grave hole that you are in, you see a hand come out. It's long, thin fingers with claws on the ends of them. Dark and animal looking, but not really hairy. And then one on the other side coming out and stepping into the room on cloven feet. It's a roughly man-sized creature, but with almost canine-like features, like the face is slightly elongated. There are fangs there. The limbs are long and angular. Seems to walk with a crouch normally, not just because that's a low tunnel. And it starts to step into the room. What would you like to do?
I would like to roll for sanity.
Yes, thank you. Well, once again, we don't know who's running this game, and this time that's on me. I need a sanity check from both of you because I wanted to.
Because it's my idea.
I passed.
Me too. 24.
21.
Wow. Good job.
Nonetheless, my involuntary action is going to be to drop the candle.
Okay.
And put my other hand on my shotgun.
Fair enough. Give me a luck roll.
That's a 30, which is a fail.
Well, you know, can you buy a luck roll with luck? No, you can't.
You will never get
that. That was really close, though.
I will push my luck.
Two things you can't do with luck rolls. Spend luck on them or push them. Yeah, the candle hits the ground, and whether it was the wax pooling right there at the wick or the ground itself, the light goes out. It is now extremely dark in this thing, but not completely black. There is the light coming in the door to the mausoleum, which is behind you if you are now facing the tunnel. So you can't see all of the detail that I was giving you of this creature before. What you can see is those, that glimmer of light in animal-like eyes that you had mentioned earlier. You see that and you hear it step further into the room, and there's a low growl. What would you like to do?
Going to say, Torino Agency, stop right there. Does it stop?
It makes a lunge at you.
I'm going to pull the trigger.
All right, I need everybody dexes, please.
69.
Nice.
60.
All right. Josephus. Josephus. You have the first action.
Pulling the trigger.
All right. Give me a firearms roll. Well, this creature may be smart enough to try to dive out of the way. There is no room for him to do so in this opening that is approximately 6 feet long and about 4 feet across for a standard grave?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and you guys are probably standing shoulder to shoulder up against the other firm wall.
So he pulls the trigger.
And?
And it's a 14, an extreme success.
Okay.
At point blank range.
Yeah, I think they have to be penetrating weapons for point blank range.
It's a shotgun. Is shotgun not a penetrating weapon?
I don't know. Check. All right, you got 2d6 of damage, right?
4d6, 2d6, 1d6. 10, 20, 50.
Yeah. Sorry, I was looking at a smaller shotgun. All right, give me your 4d6. The muzzle flare and the blast lights this place up for a second, kind of like a bolt of lightning in a dark night where you get that camera effect, like boom, you can see everything, boom, you can't anymore. So like imprinted on your retinas for just a second is this creature in its complete size, having stepped up a little bit from the crouch, get kind of a ridged back, and before the light dims, you see the main blast of the shotgun just hit him center mass, and his chest just kind of explodes, and he crumples to the ground with a large thud, and it's pitch black again. Yeah, it's not your turn yet.
Oh.
You can't even see it. In the light bit of light that is here, but you are momentarily blinded from the muzzle flash of this gun. All you can do is hear the sounds of another one of these creatures that you're pretty sure that the squish sound you hear is this creature stepping on the other one, and then a thump as it pushes forward and makes a lunge at. It's a D4, so you know who that's at.
You.
Actually, it's you. Sorry.
Oh, yay.
I just thought I'd call back to.
D4's hate, John.
Yeah. So this thing is making a bite attack at you. And would you like to dodge or fight back?
If I use fight back, I use my fighting brawl to roll.
Unless you have a weapon in your hand.
I don't.
Then you'd use your fighting brawl roll. And in the event that my level of success ties your level of success, the attacker will win. If you use a dodge and the levels of success tie, then the dodger wins. The dodgers win!
Woo! I'm going to use fight back.
Okay. Yes, sir. Okay.
No.
All right. So first, let's see how dice. Why do 8-sided dice always look like 10-sided dice?
Yeah. Except for when I'm looking for an 8-sided dice, and then for me, 12-sided look like everything.
It's back and closer forward to your right. Over. You skip right over it.
Got it now. Thanks.
Oh, I thought you were looking for an 8 because I thought you put away the 10.
No, no. I was trying to. The 8s kept making me think they were 10s. And so every time I'd see one, oh, damn, it's 8. So let me check the numbers real quick here. That is a regular success on his attack.
I rolled a 4, which is an extreme success.
On the fight back.
Yes.
Okay. Then you, while he leans forward to try and just sink his teeth into you, he's clocking. Tell me how you're clocking.
So I'm used to men being a little too grabby. So when I see something come at me, my first instinct is just like straight for the gut, just like pop right in the stomach.
These claws are nothing. I've seen more handsy guys.
Right.
Okay, roll your damage.
Which is a 1d3.
Do you have a damage bonus based on
I
your
do
side?
Not. Do not. So a d6, 1 and 2 is 1, 2 and 3 is whatever. Yeah, the way it works. A 5, so that's 3 points of damage.
All right, it was unexpected. Your eyes are starting to adjust a little bit more, so what dim light you have coming from the mausoleum door, you can see this creature step back for a second. Like, he was not expecting his prey to do that. Which takes us to the top of the round. Joe, it is your turn. No more.
Do I not get?
Yes, you do. That was his turn. Now it is your turn. Thank you. That's the thing that always gets me on the fight backs. It's like, okay, you're
done.
It. That's it. It was your turn. So yes, it is in fact Rosalie's turn, and there is a slightly stunned, but more confused than physically stunned.
Right.
What the hell?
The fuck?
So what would you like to do?
So I'm going to reach into my corset and pull out my straight razor. I'm going to attack him.
Because that's where it is.
Yeah, it's one of those folding kinds.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. It's one of those folding kinds.
Yep, yep.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to attack him with my straight razor.
He'll be fighting back and not dodging.
Okay.
He missed.
I failed.
Okay. Nothing happens. So.
But that goes to me.
It's our levels of success.
Got it.
Are comparative. Yeah. Both
still goes
if
to
you
me.
Fail, you cannot hit, no matter how bad he failed at trying to fight back to you.
I'm going to give him a quick shave.
Yeah. So you reach out and slice, but, you know, the momentum from your punch that was taking him backwards, he takes another half step back to try to reassess what's going on here. That half step backwards probably lands with a crunch as he steps on the arm or something of the creature behind him, because this is a really tight space.
Yeah.
6 foot by 4 foot, the two of you, and a creature that if it stood up straight instead of having this kind of hunched demeanor to him, is probably 6.5 feet tall.
Very close quarters.
Now we're at the top of the round. And John, before you go, give me a listen roll. You might too as well.
52 is a miss.
I missed as well.
Okay. John, it is your turn. Joe, it is your turn.
We are in very tight quarters, and rather than pump the shotgun and try to take another shot, he's just going to spin the butt of the shotgun around and try to smack whatever this is in the face with it. It
must be a reasonable move. I've seen it in hundreds of movies. Smack him.
Jason Statham does it in every...
And that makes it true.
Yeah.
Jason Statham rules.
And then I'm going to spin his neck around and he's going to die.
And then you're going to get in a car and finish driving. All right. This creature will be fighting back, not dodging.
So it's a brawl, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Just fighting brawl roll. For damage, we'll probably look at the damage for a club or something like that.
I will spin the 6 luck.
It failed its fighting back roll, so you're spending 6 luck to make your brawl a success. Close. I think the truncheon we called a small club. There's a large club, which is described as like baseball bat or cricket. I think it's more like a baseball bat here.
Okay.
So 1d8 plus a damage bonus if you have one.
I do not have a damage bonus, so I will give you my 1d8.
One of these days, I'm going to make a character that has a damage bonus. I'm going to make a big old dude.
It's a tree.
A tree? A pine or?
A fir.
Oh.
You're attacked.
That was not, I didn't actually mean that. He just said tree, and it did work.
It was like, you held my arms back while he punched me in the stomach.
Just know, if we ever do that, it'll be on purpose, not on accident.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Yeah, so he takes the shotgun butt right up against his head, and his head snaps, and he comes back with a snarl and makes an attack at you. He is going to do a maneuver, which is he's going to try to bite into you and hold you, but it is done as a fighting maneuver. So first of all, what is your size?
My size, I believe, is 55. Let me scroll up. That is true.
I'm sorry. What is your build?
My build.
Should be down at the
zero.
Bottom.
My build is zero.
Okay. His build is a 1. So give me 1 second. Okay. His build is not enough different than yours to make a difference. So it is essentially brawl versus brawl roll here.
But I can either fight back or dodge still?
Yes. So are you going to dodge or fight back?
I think when Joe sees the glint of the teeth in the darkness, I think Joe is going to try to dodge.
Okay. All right.
Twenty-7 is a regular success on a dodge for me.
Okay, so this creature, after you taking the shotgun body to the head, spins towards you, and it's not a large spin because the distance between you and her, just he moves 2 degrees this way. lunges in with his teeth, looking to like sink them into your shoulder and grab onto you. And you make a quick duck underneath his grasp and pop up on the other side of his arm. So he's just kind of, he has missed you, and he howls in disappointment.
It was so long, I thought you were about to describe my demise.
No, you successfully dodged him.
Awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Which then makes it Rosalie's turn.
Rosalie's turn. So Rosalie's going to try to attack with the straight razor again.
Give me an attack roll. And he's going to fight back. If he was going to dodge, I was going to give him a bonus dice on the dodge. Because based on the way I just described things, Joe is kind of in between you and the creature. But it's pretty close.
I was kind of thinking that in the beginning, but depending on the geometry in your head, it could...
If he was gonna dodge, I'd give him the benefit of you kind of being in between him and her. But this creature is not a dodger.
Not a Dodgers fan?
No. He's not from Brooklyn.
He's a Reds fan.
Does anybody feel like they can't roll their dice till all the information's been put forth, or else it will ruin the roll?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I have to wait.
So he's fighting back.
43, which is a success for me.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, you don't. Let's see. He has an extreme success on his fight back. So as you lash out with the razor, he turns and bites down on the arm that you have reached out with to,
Oh, goodness.
Hold on, let me see if he's got a damage.
That's fine. You don't have to check. It's probably not got one. It's probably zero. I've read that book front to back, and it's probably zero. I don't even know why they have damage bonuses. None of the monsters have them.
He has a 1d4 damage bonus, which is nice because he only rolled a 1 on his 1d6.
Oh, yeah,
attack.
Nice.
Right. But he rolled a 4 on his damage bonus.
So fast.
As his teeth sink into your arm, you
scream.
Scream. Give me a... Luck doesn't feel right on whether or not you would drop the weapon. Because it's the arm that you have it with. So
Dexterity?
Give me a... I'll take a dex roll. Just a regular one. As long as you make it, you maintain the straight razor.
No, 93.
The straight razor, I would say, clatters to the ground, but it's soft ground. So it just hits with a soft thud, and you are now weaponless.
Well.
But he bit and released, and now he has kind of taken a small step backwards. To reassess.
Just in my head, it was like the turnstile like RPGs where they fight and then they sit back and then they just kind of wait for their turn to go.
So you took a total of 5 points of damage?
Mm-hmm.
Is that half of your total?
It's close.
Okay.
I have 6 left.
That is very close. That makes it your turn. No, that was your turn. He was fighting back. He says, oh, so confused.
So confused.
That makes it Joe's turn.
Do I hear anything coming from her during this?
I think everybody heard me.
Yeah, very little light. You definitely hear all that's going on, but it's pretty chaotic. But based on his attack at you that you dodged and went under his arm and then her reaching around, so I said the bite on her arm was essentially right in front of you.
Okay.
So you know that she just got bit by this thing, and it was well placed and substantial. I mean, you can't see her wound or anything, but he hit center mass of the arm.
Well, at that moment, a scene flashes into Joe's head of one time when he was at Speedwagon Imports, and there was this guy named Raleigh, and there was a snake in a box.
No.
And the snake came out and bit Raleigh's friend, and Raleigh went and stomped on the snake's head and yelled, "Once bitten, twice shy." And Joe knows that he can't let this thing bite again, so he pumps his shotgun and pulls the trigger.
Okay.
I felt like that was going to go to a better Nate than Lover.
50 is a success.
75 is a fail. Actually, can't fight back. And close range. I don't know. Normally, you can't find back against a ranged weapon. You can only try to dive out of the way. But
would
whatever
it be a
was
success
he tried,
on the dodge?
He failed.
Okay.
Either way.
Whatever he did.
Whatever it was he did. All right. So, give me that 4d6.
Yeah. All them dice sounds. Oh, that looks like it wasn't good.
19.
Oh, it was good.
Again, the muzzle flash lights up this area. And so you get like a quick snapshot that remains in your retina after everything goes dark for just a second. And in that snapshot, you see the blown out body of the first one laying on the ground. It's been stepped on. And you see the one in front of you being blasted back as the middle of his gut is torn out, as that's as high up as you could get your shotgun, and he blasts back and falls to the ground in the quiet, in a total darkness now, because that flash has blinded you for a second, and all you're seeing is that blast and him being thrown back up against the wall. And in that vision, you see a face and two eyes at the cave or the tunnel entrance, just poking in. This face looks just slightly different from the other two. So that was Joe's turn, which makes it... It's totally dark in here now. Your eyes have not yet readjusted so that you get the dim light from the mausoleum door.
Stop. Not eat. You leave. We leave alone.
Nothing about the other two suggested to you that they could speak to you like this. And all you've got right now is that quick flash of light picture in your head. This one looks as canine and bent as the other ones, almost like there's something slightly more human about this one.
You leave. We taught you others.
Are we out of turn order?
Yes. And that's what he did on his turn. Technically still in turn order. Emily, it would be... I'm sorry, Rosalie, it would be your turn. You may attack if you...
Joe, my arm, we have to get out, but I don't think we can. We have to... I am bleeding a lot. And that's I'm not gonna attack.
And that's your turn.
That's my turn.
That takes us to the top of the round. If you do not attack, then I'm consider each party in this thing has not attacked on their turn. We are out of combat. If you do attack, then we'll keep it going.
I'm not going to attack. I am going to look at him. I'm gonna glare at him for just a second. And I'm going to say, what exactly are you doing down here? What are these? What are these?
Brothers. Live here. Dig. Eat.
All right, Rosalie, let's go.
As macabre as it may sound, you realize that you could step on the dead body of the second one that you just blew and pretty easily get out of the hole that you blew up.
Joe, I have to get out of here. You're going to have to go first and help me up. I don't think I can pull myself up.
I'll push from the bottom.
All right, so I'll kind of hesitantly look towards the opening and kind of lift one foot up to step onto the body.
Yeah, you can tell that this creature is purposefully not making any threatening moves, but like if you're approaching a scared child, it's kind of like that. He is just his head. You really can't see the rest of his form, but yeah, he's not leaving.
No, yeah, but I think it was more of a look up, like without saying it so much as like, I'm sorry, this is, I'm going to step on your dead friend. Don't have an option. So I'm going to step up and put my good arm to try to heave and get my other arm up.
It takes some doing, but you manage.
And get myself up out of the hole and stumble out into daylight. Hopefully still daylight.
After she's gone, I'm going to look at the thing. I'm going to say, do you have plans for your brothers here?
We do. We fix. So long. Words leave me. Take. We take.
I'm going to look down at the two bodies. Is it bright enough that I can see a part that would be discernible as non-human that is either blown off or would be fairly easy to rip off and take with me?
You're not going to like my answer. Give me a luck roll.
Joe Carter got no chill. It's like, see your dead friend here? I'm going to take his hand.
He's an investigator.
No, yeah. Just got zero chill.
Because, there's no way the police detective is believing this shit.
So, hear me out.
Okay.
It's a failure.
Right.
But it is also a 69. Would it be possible that there is a penis on the floor of this mausoleum?
Say no. I don't want to deal with this the rest of the campaign. Well,
I am definitely saying no. I was just trying to figure out, did I need to let him down easy on that?
No.
Can I stick it to him
hard? Stick it to him hard.
Yeah, there is no body part that has been blown off that is within your easy reach. If you were to move across the thing, the area a little bit and a little bit closer to this third creature, there's probably like part of a hand or something from one of the two creatures that got blown off with your shotgun blast.
All right, I'm going to pump my shotgun, holding it not pointed at him, sort of at the ground with a easy pop up, and he's dead center, or at least a hip fire. I'm going to pump it and say, I know you understand a deal, so I'll make one with you. We both walk out of here, but there's one thing I need to take back with me. It's for work. Deal?
So when you pump the shotgun, he steps back a little bit and gives a growl, and he sounds more like one of those creatures than human at this point.
I must take my brothers. I changed you. You take small part. Deliver flowers tonight.
And then you see his eyes move back and disappear into the darkness, and you hear fading footsteps move away.
So let me clarify. He said, deliver flowers tonight.
He said, deliver flowers tonight.
If you were to write it out in your hand, in your head or on paper or whatever, you heard it with periods after each one. It was not the subject, verb, object, deliver flowers tonight. It was deliver flowers tonight.
I'm going to pick up the part.
Okay, it's like the ring and pinky finger and a little bit of the hand of one of these things. The fingers are elongated. There are long claws on it. It's got this dark leathery skin, virtually hairless. There might be small little hairs on them, kind of like the hairs on your knuckles or whatever. It's bloody, but to your estimation, could not be mistaken for human.
All right, I'm not going to put this in my satchel. I'm just going to keep it handy. And I'm going to climb up out and see what Rosalie's doing.
I don't want to speak for her.
I think I found like a bench or like a low lying like ledge of the mausoleum to sit down on. And
yeah, I think right outside the mausoleum, you know, like I told you, there's a concrete or whatever base to this mausoleum that extends out around it, kind of like an apron for about a foot and a half, and is raised up on the other ground. So you could essentially be sitting on the front porch of this mausoleum.
Can I give myself first aid?
Yes. I reserve the right to change that if I can look up later and find that somebody else has to give first aid. But you're conscious, and if you have the skill, I'll let you do it.
Am I there now?
You're walking out, and you're seeing her doing what?
I'm beginning to rip off, like going to a petticoat, you know, that would be relatively clean at this point, and ripping like one of the ruffles off so that I have a long chunk of fabric to try to bandage my arm with.
When I see her doing that, can I attempt to help?
Yes, you can do the. Tell me what you're going to do to help, just for story and cinematic purposes.
I will. You know how when a little kid is learning to tie and you like put your finger on. I'm going to do that.
Okay. So you're taking your petticoat and you're wrapping it around and, you know, with one hand trying to, like,
so he comes out one and
sees, obviously, how are you going to make the knot necessary here with only one hand? So he reaches over, puts his finger there to hold the fabric so that you can do it.
All right. Don't have a ton in first aid, but I have some. I rolled an 8, which is a hard success, nearly extreme.
Great. So, first aid.
If I hadn't had that bonus die, it would have been a 98.
You rolled a 90 and a 00?
Yeah.
Cray cray.
Hey, but I get to...
We'll figure out exactly what how many points you get to get back with first aid after this. So the bleeding is stopped. Your immediate danger of bleeding out or whatever is gone, but you are still very hurt. So what are we doing?
I'm going to unchamber the round because I had already pumped the shotgun. I'm just going to pop it, catch the shell. And set it back.
Insert it back into the stock of the gun. Because that thing held, what, 5 or 6 shells? I forget.
Not really. I believe it is 5.
And you've spent 2 of them. Right. Okay, so it is probably mid to late afternoon now, maybe 4. And you're injured and you're helping. Where are y'all headed?
Would I know enough about getting around in the city and where things are to know if the barber shop was on the way to the police station?
The barber shop.
Yeah. The barber shop. That's really smart.
Yeah, sure. There's a barber shop on the way to the police station. There is a hospital in Whitechapel, considerably farther distance than the police station. So if I'm reading your intent correctly, I know the barbers back in the day were also used for a lot of medical kind of stuff, and maybe that's where you're going for, or you just want to look your best when you go tell the detective about this.
That's definitely what I was going for.
Looking your best.
You get a fresh cut.
Like you cut, G. So, I'm going to look over at Rosalie. Be like, are you okay to run? Because we got to make tracks quick. I'm going to drop you off at the barber's. He'll be able to do something right now about what you have going on with your arm. And then I really have got to make tracks to Reginald, because if Officer Probst can get people out there quick enough, we can maybe have him see the bodies.
Am I well enough at a little more than half my hit points to carry on my own, or would I probably need a...
No, since it's on your arm, you can walk. You can do whatever. You're probably not as fast as you want to be, but
I know where the barber shop is. Go on ahead. I'll make my way there.
Do you limp?
No.
Okay.
I lost a lot of blood. Been a little woozy.
So before you go running off to the police station and you limp to the you limp with your injured arm to the barbershop. What is your intention with the mausoleum door? Are you leaving it open or closed?
I'm not touching it. Before we leave, is there someplace closer, like, say, the Torino Agency or something like that, where I could find allies quicker than going all the way to the police station? Because it does seem like an urgent get people here now kind of thing.
All right, so as you're heading out of the graveyard, right, the idea comes to you that I'm not that far away from the docks, and so your mind was set on the police station, which is essentially very east. A little nudge towards north, you know, kind of east, I'm sorry, west, northwest, whereas the docks are almost exactly due south, and you stop in the street near the church that the graveyard was behind, and you look to the south, and you're starting to do some mental calculations about which is the quickest way to get a group of guys together to come check this out. That's where we're going to stop for the evening.
Shit.
If this was Texas instead of London, I'd just stand there right in the street and yell, Posse!
Posse!
Keep now saying it like that.
Now you're applying for her job.
I was going to say, the way you're saying that doesn't necessarily sound like what you think it sounds like.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. I've been Steve. That's been Emily. That is always John. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye. Bye.